Yeah. Let's do one more round. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming out on your Thursday summer evening to hear about anti-inflammation. I get excited about this topic because I think it's a really hot topic in the news right now, and for really good reason. It's something that is affecting each and every one of us all the time, whether we're aware of it or not. So we have basically two types of inflammation. So we have acute inflammation, which you have when you sprain your ankle or you get a nice sunburn at the lake or you have a cut, and then your body goes into repair mode. It's ready to heal. You get redness, you get swelling, you get pain. It's very obvious. Then it goes away. You get better. You move on. That's not the kind of inflammation that we're worried about right now. We're worried about the chronic inflammation that can happen over days, months, years, accumulates in the body. The signs are way less obvious, although today I'm going to give you some signs that you may be able to connect with inflammation. And it's persistent. It leads to severe progressive tissue damage and an abundance of inflammatory diseases. Move it over this way. So some symptoms of chronic inflammation, and you can kind of look at these and see if you are experiencing any of these or if you ever have. Chances are pretty good you're in one of those groups. Digestive problems, chronic fatigue, moodiness, depression, food cravings, insulin resistance, blood sugar issues, weight gain, headaches, allergies, could also be weight loss, kind of unexplained things that are happening in the body. So sometimes we think, well, I just have a headache. It's because, you point it to something, but you don't necessarily think this might be from some systemic inflammation that's happening in my body. More and more, there's research on diseases being linked to inflammation. So inflammation sort of being the root of many, many diseases. Some of the diseases that we see, cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular health, neurological diseases, Alzheimer's, autoimmune diseases, arthritis, pulmonary diseases. And this is not all of them, but it's a pretty good sample, diseases that are linked to inflammation. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. I feel like I'm talking really loud, but I just wanted to check in. So when we talk about the root of inflammation, and I think this is the root of a lot of things that are happening in our body, the root of diseases, we look at the gut. Okay, and you may have heard of the gut talked about as the second brain, a place where our neurotransmitters are developing, but there's a big correlation between what happens in our gut, what happens in our brains, and what happens in the rest of our bodies. So when we look at the digestive lining of our gut, it's not just about this food makes us sick, this food makes us well. It's about what's happening in our digestive systems. So if you've heard of leaky gut and intestinal permeability, what happens is in our guts we have the lining that should be woven really, really tightly, and food particles should not get through that. When they do, any undigested nutrient particles, toxins, or bacterias, it can trigger the immune system, and that leads to inflammation in the body. So one way I like to describe it is it's not just unhealthy foods, it's not just foods that you have an allergy to. It can be healthy foods that are not properly chewed, not properly digested, that can enter the bloodstream. You could have a carrot. I like to use this as an example. I think everybody thinks of a carrot as a health food. Okay, you eat a carrot. You don't completely digest it. You have a chunk of a carrot. Your gut lining is not working as well as it should be. It's not woven as tightly as it could be. And the chunk of the carrot goes into your bloodstream, and then your body says, ooh, we have a foreign invader in here, let's attack this, okay? But it's a carrot. It's not a Hostess cupcake, but it's still causing a problem in your immune system. Okay, so you might notice that I'm not just starting off with the 10 anti-inflammatory foods that are gonna change your life. I'm really looking at this as a whole system about the way that we interact with food and how we interact with the health of our bodies. So we look at the gut, and we're going to talk tonight about a lot of foods that are supportive for gut health, starting just with a couple of things. You may have maybe you have or have not talked to somebody about doing an elimination diet. I know that's another big topic out there. A lot of people are doing elimination diets, trying to figure out what they're allergic to, what supports them the best. So some of the common inflammatory foods that activate the immune system that people tend to eliminate when they go on the elimination diet would be gluten, dairy, sugar, and alcohol. And those are sort of the big ones. And then you can look at, for some people, eggs, nuts, nightshades, you know, it kind of gets into the, you can start listing every food group. But these are the ones that we kind of start with, if you haven't already started that. For gut health, proper nutrients. So a lot of it is not about what are you going to take out of your diet, but thinking about what are you eating that's actually giving you nutrients. So we talk about a nutrient-dense diet. Vegetables and meats and fruits and things that actually have nutrients in them versus chips and donuts and hot dog buns and things that people just eat that don't have a lot of nutrients. They taste good, but they don't. Probiotics. So people take probiotics in the form of supplements, or they take probiotics that come in food, kimchi, sauerkraut, fermented foods. There's lots of ways to get probiotics through food without taking supplements. L-glutamine is a supplement that heals the lining of the digestive tract. So when I was talking about the intestinal permeability and having that be really, really tightly woven, L-glutamine is something that can help with that. Fish oil, flax oil, it's a really good omega-3 source. Omega-3 is awesome anti-inflammatory supplement. And we'll talk about later that you can also get in fish and other food. You don't have to just take it in supplement form. And vitamin D. Vitamin D, again, I know it's kind of hot in the news right now, but vitamin D actually works as a hormone in the body that regulates calcium absorption and inflammation levels. So if your vitamin D levels are low and it's recommended that you take vitamin D, that's going to be great for your inflammatory responses as well. So, mindful eating. Anybody that's ever come to see me, I like to ask the question, how well do you chew your food? 9 out of 10 people say, I don't know, I eat my food fast. I eat it on the go, I have kids, I eat it at work. I don't really pay that much attention to it. Some people say, I chew really slowly, I'm always the slowest person at the table, and people comment on how I eat. That's where I kind of want us all to be, because when we sort of backpedal and think of the foundation of health, I want you to think for a minute. Just, I'm not gonna call anybody out, just close your eyes or don't. And think about the last meal you had, think about where you ate it, and think about how fast you ate it. All right, okay. So, chewing food really, really well can aid in the digestive process and make nutrients more available. This is gonna help with inflammation because of what I was talking about earlier. If you don't have food particles that are going into your bloodstream, you have less likely that you're gonna have an immune response to the food that you're eating. So in some ways, it's very elementary. I say to people, I don't care if you're eating a donut. I do. Don't eat a donut. But, or a piece of kale, I want you to totally chew it until it's sort of liquid. I mean, you don't need to get excessive about it. But that way, you're going to get the most nutrients out of it. It's going to be the most digestible to your body. It's going to reduce bloating, help with weight loss if that's something that you're looking to do. When you get really tired after a meal, some people do, not everybody, but you get the afternoon slump, a lot of times that's because all your energy is going into digestion. So if you supported yourself more, you might find yourself having remarkable energy at 1:30 in the afternoon, who knows. So in the slides, I said earlier, for those of you that just came in, I'll be emailing the slides out to you. So I put a bunch of stuff in here that I'm not going to read everything on, but this is some tools for practicing mindful eating. So just the overall emphasis is to pay attention to what, why, how you're eating, to have, to chew. I cannot say that too many times. I'll probably say it a few more times tonight. And just to think about the intention that you put into your food and into the way that you're nourishing your body. This is a mindful eating plate from Dr. Susan Albers that's on the internet that I just like as a visual, so you can check it out. Okay, so now we're going to get to the meat of it, sort of. So pro-inflammatory foods. people familiar when I say the SAD diet? No? Okay. It's great. It stands for the Standard American Diet. And I mean, not to pick on Americans, some of my favorite people are Americans, but our diet is really awful if you look at our diet as a society, okay? Even some of us that are like, we eat really healthy foods, we're eating a lot of healthy junk foods. We're eating a lot of processed foods. We're eating, you know, pizzas and hot dogs and chips and foods that are pretty much devoid of nutrients. And so it's causing a lot of health problems. We look at refined and processed food, grain-fed meats and eggs, and all these I'm going to go into more detail. So if I say something and you're not sure what I'm talking about, hold on, I'll get there. Sugars, overconsumption of whole grains or consumption of refined grains, inflammatory fats, and those include our, we like to call them the unhealthy fats, which would be canola oil, soy oil, corn oil. These oils all have a really high omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. And omega-3 is what we're going for. We want omega-3s for our anti-inflammatory oils. And omega-6s, we do need omega-6 oils, and we get that plenty of them. But we don't need more omega-6s than we need omega-3s. It should be like a 3-to-1 ratio. Sodas and alcohol, and I can put any sugary drink in there. So we look at fruit juice, sodas, all these vitamin waters, Gatorades, all of those drinks that just if you turn them around, read them, you're drinking sugar. So we put that all in that category. Artificial sweeteners. So we look at Diet Coke, we look at gums that have artificial sweeteners, anything that is artificially sweetened or sweetened with a chemical. Additives, food dyes, anything that's added to our processed food system. And it's really, really hard. I could do, label reading is a whole entire another class, which I love to do as well. But even on healthy food items, the ingredient lists are huge. And there's all these additives. And they're really smart about the names now that they use because they know what people are looking for to not have. So they've replaced them with different names. And then so I put anything your body may not recognize as a food. So if you think about vegetables that are sprayed with chemicals, if you're buying non-organic food, you're having a chemical that your body does not recognize. If you're having anything that's an artificial sweetener, your body does not recognize that. So basically anything that doesn't grow in the ground, your body does not recognize as a food. Therefore, we go back to the immune system attacking it because you've got a chemical in your body that's not a food, doesn't know what to do with it, gets nervous, attacks it. Hydration might seem like a weird segue, but hydration is optimal for fighting inflammation. Most people are slightly dehydrated. The formula for hydration is you take your body weight and you half it, and then you want to have that much water per day, okay, spread out throughout the day. You don't want to gulp water bottles. You want to drink it all throughout the day so your cells are absorbing it. Some signs of dehydration. Again, we can play this game if you ever feel this way. Fatigue, foggy thinking, depression, joint pain, hunger, cravings, weight gain. All of those things are things that you could look to for dehydration. You know, think about it. A lot of times I tell people when they're really tired, or if you feel really tired or you feel really hungry, if you're not, I mean, you may actually be hungry, but try water first because sometimes that is actually what your body wants. It's not the food. This is just a hydration chart. You can't probably see that good right now, but you can see it when I email out the slides, and it just kind of gives you an idea of all the things that everybody knows that water is good for you, right? You have this idea, you need water, but it goes into a little more detail about what it's doing all throughout your body. Sugar. I love sugar. I think that sugar is probably the biggest elephant in the room when we look at health problems and we look at inflammation. And sugar is really hard. Just to be clear, it is an addiction. So if you're like, it's very hard to give up sugar, it is. Your dopamine receptors love sugar. And it's very detrimental to our systems. We consume so much sugar that right now that it alters the hormone insulin. And if you know anything about insulin, you know that insulin is the fat storage hormone. So if you have too much sugar, and you are not super active and you're not going to go work that off, it's most likely going to store it as fat for you to use later on. We live in a society where we have sugar all the time, so later on never really comes. So when I look at sugars, I have people tell me all the time, and it's very normal, very human, oh, I don't eat sugar, I just eat honey and molasses and fruit and this and that. And I'm not, if you say that, that's not in any way to make fun of somebody that says that. That's a really kind of a misnomer that people think that those aren't sugars. Metabolically, anything that contains sugar, honey, molasses, fruit, table sugar, it's all the same in your body. The difference is honey, molasses, fruit also have other nutrients. So when you have those sugars, you have other nutrients, you're getting some other nutrients, you have a way to help process that sugar. It slows down the way that it reacts in your body. So yes, those are better sugars, but it's still sugar in your system. And when you're looking at diabetes, inflammation, blood sugar issues, in all of those sugars across the board need to be addressed, even fruit. And we'll go into a little bit later what fruits are better and how to kind of incorporate fruit in moderation in your diet. I'll come back to sugar in a little bit. Now we're going to go to a positive twist on starting to look at what is the anti-inflammatory diet. And if you've done any research on this, there's, you know, you can type it in the internet and you get the 14 best foods for anti-inflammation, the 14 foods that are going to kill you, the this and that, you know, and there's so much information out there. And the way that I want to look at it is this is not a diet. It's not a short-term fix. It's a way that you change your lifestyle and your dietary patterns to eat foods that support your optimal health. So the reason I put on there avoid superfood and nutrient isolation, it's not that I don't think superfoods are great. They're fine. You know, if you have a lot of money and you want to buy $14 raw cacao and $14 goji berries and this and that, you can do that. And that's great. And those are all very supportive. But it's not one food or one group of foods that is going to fight this inflammation problem. It's looking at the whole panel of foods that you eat. So, and the nutrient isolation, same thing. It's not just that you have a lack of vitamin C. It's that we have a lack of nutrients across the board. So I really want people to sort of look at that instead of isolating one or two things that are going to fix the problem. So here's the diet. This is really easy. Everybody ready? This is the secret. It's just real whole foods that exist in nature. Not chemically altered in any way, shape, or form. If you put only those, if you are a generally healthy person, and you put those foods into your body, you can change the course of your health starting tomorrow, okay? That being said, I know that there's people who have allergy to specific foods and reasons they can't have specific foods. That's just sort of a foundation starting point to get all the other foods out. Anything that comes in a box that you don't recognize, that you would not be able to make at home because you would never know where that ingredient comes from, you say goodbye to that, okay? I know that's not realistic. We're human and we live in this really complicated society. But the reason I say it's the easy secret is because if you really just did that, it is a lot easier than trying to figure out what's the right diet, what's the right thing to be doing, you know? So that being said, then the 85-15 or the 90-10 way of eating, is anybody familiar with that? So if you're eating well 85 to 90% of the time, then the 10, 15% of the time that, you know, you go home and your family's like, why don't you be fun and eat Papa John's, you know? Not that anybody would say that, but then if you do that, then you're going to be okay. You're setting yourself up for this, you know, for this health that can support that. But because we don't live in a way that we do that, it can be really, really challenging for our bodies to take these nutrient-devoid foods. Okay, so some more down kind of the list of anti-inflammatory foods. We look at a plant-based whole foods diet. When I use the word plant-based, it does not mean that you cannot eat meat. What it means is that most of what you eat is going to come from plants, and that's across the board. I don't care if you want to be vegan or if you want to be paleo, or you want to be vegetarian, whatever you want to be, the majority of your food should come from plants. that's where the majority of our micronutrients come from. So we look at vegetables, we look at fruits, we look at nuts and seeds, meats and eggs, healthy fats, water, spices and herbs, herbal teas, whole grains. I don't know why I put spices on there again, just in case you didn't see it three times ago. mushrooms. And then I put down there antioxidants and phytonutrients, because these are the big things that we're looking at when we're fighting inflammation. And what comes from vegetables and fruits are antioxidants and phytonutrients. It's nature made it that way. It's really amazing. So some more anti-inflammatory diet options. So in general, what I've been talking about, this anti-inflammatory diet will support your body. The way that it's doing that is providing you with all the vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids, dietary fiber, antioxidants, phytonutrients that your body needs. And it's going to stabilize your blood sugar and just make everything work properly. It's not intended as a weight loss necessarily, but people, if you get on this and weight loss is one of your goals, you will lose weight by doing this diet, this way of living. And then I just like to think about, this goes back to mindful eating, just choosing and preparing your foods based on how those foods are going to support your optimal health, instead of just like, this candy bar looks real good and I'm hungry, you know, thinking about the long term of that choice. And eating to thrive, not survive, okay? So we're all surviving. You can live on the standard American diet. Lots of people do. They live for a really long time. People can live till they're 90, 95, 100. But you can really, really thrive and feel really, really good if you eat this way. Proteins. So we look at meat. And when we look at meat, we want to really look at the quality. So that's a lot of the information that's out there right now is you can't eat meat because it causes cancer. You can't eat meat because it causes inflammation. You can't eat meat because it causes this or that. What's left out of the picture is the quality of meat, what's added to the meat, how the meat is raised. So we look at organic, grass-fed, hormone-free, and antibiotic-free. Okay, those are really, really important. Really important. I cannot stress that enough. If you're going to buy meat that has hormones and antibiotics in it, I know that that's cheaper, and it's more available, but you eat those antibiotics, you eat those hormones, you eat everything that is fed to that animal goes into your body. So not to be gross, but let's be a little gross. So if that's like, well, this way of eating is really expensive, then you cut back on the amount of meat that you have and have it as sort of a luxury item. Have it every now and then. Have it, you know, instead of something that you have three times a day. So we look at bison, beef, chicken, duck, lamb, turkey, venison, elk. Eggs, pastured eggs are the best kind. So the image that I have up here, and if you've ever had an egg from, you know, you could have an egg from your neighbor's chicken. That's going to probably be your best one. You get this yolk that's just amazing, yellow, beautiful. And then if you've had an egg that you buy from Eggland's Best, sorry if anybody owns that company in here, but or, you know, an egg like that that's just kind of a standard American egg that you get at the Ingles, it's going to be white. It's going to be really yellowy white. You know, you've seen the difference between those two eggs. And what you're looking at is the difference in the nutrient levels there. So you're looking at the differences in vitamin D, the differences in choline, the differences in omega-3s. So are eggs good for you? Yes and no. If you get an egg that is grain-fed that doesn't have any omega-3s that from the grocery store, your kind of standard American egg, no, an egg is not good for you. If you get an egg that is pastured that has all the omega-3s and all the nutrients in it, then yes, an egg can be good for you if you don't have an egg allergy. So that's something to kind of look at. And then we look at the soy tempeh issue. For what I usually recommend for people is soy is okay, not in the form of soy milk and processed soy products, but in terms of looking at fermented soy, tempeh, sprouted tofu can be an option that can be more digestible, but staying away from the more processed soys. This is a chart, again, you probably can't see it right now unless you have amazing eyes, but for your reference for later on, it's just kind of a neat chart about the grass-fed beef versus grain-fed beef industry, some little facts. Proteins, again. Okay, so we look at fish. So fish, sort of the same as meat, You want to look at getting wild caught, and so you can see the difference. And if you've ever looked at the supermarket, you can really tell the difference between fish. Also, fish should not smell really like fish. If it smells really fishy, it's not, don't eat it. Okay? And it's fine. You can ask that. They love it. Just ask the people who are selling the fish if you can smell it. So you want to look for the wild. Farmed fish are often fed corn, fed other things that fish don't eat. And so, you know, and they're given antibiotics. The whole the same issue. So those are some fish that you can have for proteins. And this is all written out for you, so hopefully it's kind of a long list. I don't need to go through everything, but so you'll have it as reference. So dairy. Dairy is another hot topic. I put dairy and dairy products up there. People always ask me if dairy is good for you, and my answer is, are you a cow? And if the answer is no, then you don't necessarily need dairy. But the truth is, if you want to eat dairy, because some people do, and I get that, there are some ways that dairy can be supportive and have nutrients in it. The best way to have it is to have raw dairy. The reason for that is it hasn't been heated up, it hasn't lost its enzymes or all the nutrients. The milk that you buy from the store that's pasteurized and homogenized, it doesn't have anything left in it. There's not nutrients necessarily in that, maybe a few. But if you're really looking to get nutrients out of milk, raw milk. Almond milk unsweetened, coconut milk unsweetened. And I say this later on when I look at the label reading, but the best way to do this is to make it at home, honestly, and I can talk through that after this, but because a lot of the almond milks and coconut milks, they have a lot of additives added to them, carrageenan and soy lecithin and this and that, that we're just, you know, again, not sure about. They're not real foods. So we look at goat cheese, goat yogurt, sheep cheese, sheep yogurt. The reason for that is goats and sheep have different enzymes and different protein structure than cow's milk does. So sometimes, not for everybody, if you can't tolerate cow's milk, you can tolerate goat's milk. So I tell people to just, you know, give it a try, see if it works for you. It may not. And then there, this is just a little informational list about the differences of raw milk versus processed milk, if you're interested in that. So carbohydrates. So I kind of do this on purpose. You might think, this isn't carbohydrates, this is vegetables. Yeah, but here's what happens. Vegetables are carbohydrates. It's true. So all the vegetables here, again, I don't need to go through the list, but what I want to tell you is vegetables. Here's an easy way to think about it. Vegetables that are free for you to eat, they cost money, but I mean you can eat, is think about anything that grows above the ground, okay, is great. It's lower on the glycemic index. That means it's going to mess less with your blood sugar levels, and those have the most nutrients. Okay, so the ones that we look at eating in moderation would be the ones that grow underneath the ground, which are sweet potatoes, white potatoes, turnips, beets, parsnips. There are a couple of exceptions. Garlic grows underground, radishes grow underground. So there's a little bit of play there, but it's just sort of a way to kind of remember it. Above ground, you're good. Below ground, in moderation. They still have nutrients, they just have higher sugar levels. So other carbohydrates we look at, whole grains in moderation, whole grain products instead of whole wheat. So if you have bread that is whole wheat, that is still pretty processed, does not mean that the whole grain is involved. So you want the whole grain, so you're getting all of the nutrients, the fiber. When you get just a white rice, all you're getting is the starch. You're not getting all the other nutrients. Brown rice, wild rice, beans would be a protein and a carb, and then whole oats. Okay. And in a little bit, I'm gonna address the grain issue, because I know there's a lot of talk about grains and inflammation, and I'm gonna help with that in a minute. Carbohydrates, again, so we go with fruits. So earlier I talked about fruits, and fruits are great, don't get me wrong. Fruits have nutrients in them, and there's not a lot in fruits that you can't get from vegetables. So when we say it's sort of the regular dietary guidelines, or make sure that you get a lot of fruits and vegetables, make sure you get 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. I like to flip-flop that. Make sure you get a lot of vegetables and a little bit of fruit. Fruit should be your treat. Fruit shouldn't be something you're striving for 9 servings of a day. You're good. So when we talk about, and I have reference on here for what the glycemic index is, but I'm talking about foods that are low on the glycemic index or high on the glycemic index, and that's the way that it affects your blood sugar. So we recommend having fruits that are lower on the glycemic index be the fruits that you primarily eat. So we look at apples, berries, oranges, pears, lemons, limes. And then the other fruits are higher on the glycemic index, and so you want to have those in moderation. Realize that those are pretty high in sugar. And those are a lot of the delicious fruits, peaches, watermelons, things that you might not think of being really sugary. But, and so on here I have also something about the Dirty Dozen list. So I know that it's not necessarily reasonable to say you can buy everything organic. So every year the Environmental Working Group puts out a list of the things that are the most important to buy organic. That means they're going to be the least sprayed or the least amount of it permeates into the food. So you can check that out for 2017 and look up the ones that are the most important to have organic. So we look at healthy fats. This is one of my favorite food cartoons. If you can't read it, I said you're the good kind of fat. He's crying. There's a lot of talk about fats too, and what do fats do to you, and fats make you fat, and fats cause this, and fats cause that, but we really want to separate what's a healthy fat and what's an unhealthy fat. So we look at nuts and seeds, avocados, olives, hemp seeds, chia seeds, all of those. And you'll notice that I don't have peanuts on there. Peanuts are not a nut. Peanuts are a legume. And I don't typically recommend that people eat peanuts for their nutritional value. If you like peanuts, it's fine. Get organic, you can eat them. But I promote these other ones before peanut butter. So healthy fats. So it's really best if you've seen one of the documentaries, like you've seen Forks Over Knives or you've seen Plant-Based Nation, and they say, do not use any oil in your food. Do not cook with oil. Only eat plants, you know. So what they're talking about is does kind of make sense. It's like get your healthy fats from actual food. So that would mean eating an avocado, eating nuts and seeds, eating olives, eating coconuts. You know, it sort of goes back to the whole food concept. The problem with getting healthy fats is that you really have to pay attention to the quality when you're getting olive oil, you're getting coconut oil, you're getting these other oils that you cook with, because you can go to Ingles and you can get Laura Lynn coconut oil that's refined and is $4 a bottle, and that is not an oil that is going to be good for your body in any way, shape, or form. Okay, but you can go and get a whole coconut and eat that, and that's going to be great for you. Okay, so you really have to pay attention to the quality of oils that you get if you're not eating it from a whole food. I'm trying to just keep on the time frame, so I'm kind of going through quickly. If there's something somebody wants me to touch on more, I will. Herbs and spices. I think these are really, really great to think about in terms of using in your food. You know, you may use a little bit, but to think about how you flavor your food, how you give, you know, we're used to foods being really sweet and salty and having all this kind of artificial flavor added to them, but real herbs and spices are amazing and underused. The ones that I have written really big, kind of big comparatively, are ones that are kind of known more to fight inflammation. So we see chili peppers, the capsaicin in the chili peppers, cloves, garlic, rosemary, and sure, or maybe you haven't heard, but turmeric is kind of a big buzzword one. It is really great, the curcumin in turmeric. I recommend people take turmeric like they would take aspirin, because it does the same type of thing, but it doesn't give you the negative consequences for your stomach. So condiments, we look at apple cider vinegar, guacamole. I love guacamole, just like to put that in there. Hummus, mustard, mayonnaise. I am concerned about mayonnaise. So mayonnaise in and of itself is not a bad product. It's eggs and olive oil, and it's fine. Eat mayonnaise. Mayonnaise that they sell at the store, it is really hard to find a mayonnaise that doesn't have canola oil, soybean oil, some other kind of oil that you don't want to be eating. So if you're going to buy mayonnaise, that's fine, but look for it with organic olive oil only, or make it at home. It's fun. It's not that easy, but it's fun.
Do you have a brand that you recommend?
Well, there is, I sort of don't like to recommend this brand because it's so expensive, but it's called Primal Kitchen. Yeah, and they have it's an avocado mayonnaise, but it just has avocado. I don't have avocado in everything, but it just happens to have it in there. And it's great.
Dukes is not.
Dukes would be in the. I know, and I have lost some friends and family members over this argument, because I know that Duke's mayonnaise is the mayonnaise of the South, but I also, just because we're here for health, I gotta say Duke's is not cutting it. But it's good, but it tastes good.
It's better than Hellman's.
It might be better than Hellman's, yeah.
The label's
better, yeah. And Hellman's, most of Hellman's is you turn it around and it's soybean oil or canola oil for the first ingredient. And sugar, because everybody likes soybean oil and high fructose corn syrup on their burgers. I mean, that's just weird, right? I mean, it tastes good, but when you think about it and you break down what's in the product, that's disgusting. But it tastes good all put together. Beverages. So what can you drink? Water. Filtered water would be the best. Spa water, I like to call it, because you can make water fun. Put lemon, put lime in it, put little bits of fruit in it, you know, put mint, put some of the herbs in it and make it something that you enjoy drinking. Broths, so homemade bone broth, veggie broth, that makes a great sort of herbal tea alternative. Almond, cashew, nut milks, organic low acid coffee. So another thing people always ask me is, coffee good for you? Does coffee cause inflammation? Does coffee cause this, that, the other? Coffee's like everything else. There is a way that you can have it that would be a better choice. For some people, coffee is not a good choice. If it makes you anxious, if it keeps you awake, if it does cause inflammation, give it up. But if you really love coffee, so a way to have low acid coffee is a couple of ways. A French press makes it lower acid. An AeroPress makes it lower acid, if you've heard of an AeroPress. But cold brew is actually the best way to make low acid coffee. And you can go buy one of those fancy cold brew machines. Or you can just take some beans, grind them up, put them in a mason jar, fill it up with cold water, soak it for 24 hours, and then strain it. You know, so either way. But cold press is a good low acid way to drink coffee. Herbal teas, kombucha, raw vegetable juices. Be careful with any vegetable juices. A lot of the vegetable juices that you just buy also have a lot of fruit juice, so you can get, you know, you can get one of those vegetable juices that's a serving. It'll be this big, it's two servings, and it's 42 grams of sugar per serving. So you've got to watch that, you know, if you're buying it out. But if you make it at home, you're good. Sparkling water, unsweetened, and then green tea has a lot of anti-inflammatory compounds.
What do you say in moderation on sparkling water?
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. Because I think that sparkling water is fine. There's often things added to sparkling water, natural flavors.
If
you make your own sparkling water. So there is some research on sparkling water, like taking away calcium and phosphate and some other things that you need from your bones. And I'm not an expert on that, but I've sort of started to recommend that people, sure, have sparkling water, but have it as a treat. Don't have it as your hydration for the day. Like caffeinated tea?
Yeah.
That's fine. You want to pay attention to the quality of it, organic tea, and know that just like coffee, doesn't count as hydration.
Okay.
So make sure that you're getting your...
Doesn't decaf count as
hydration? So technically no on both of those, on decaf or on caffeinated coffee and caffeinated tea. They technically dehydrate you, so have a cup of water when you're having those. Even though they're made with water, but... So is Coca-Cola. I mean, you know, these things are made with water, but they don't necessarily hydrate you. Okay, sweeteners and treats. So, sure, people are going to use sugar. I understand it's not going to, you know, there's very few people who can just say, I'm not going to have sugar. So thinking about, we talked earlier about honey or molasses, I want to address the agave issue. So agave is just sugar. Agave has the same thing sort of as like high fructose corn syrup does in the way that it affects your blood sugar. Sure, if you went and you got an agave plant and you just opened it up and you took some agave out of it, then that would probably be a better source, but that's not how agave is processed. So just saying that. Honey or molasses, local honey is the best if you're looking for, especially for like allergy support. Stevia, dark chocolate, and I don't just say that because I love dark chocolate, but if you go 72% or higher, the chocolate, the cocoa actually has some anti-inflammatory properties, but you want to make sure that you're not getting a ton of sugar. And then, you know, just having a couple of squares of it. And then I put dry wine and dry cider on there because always when I'm talking to people, they say, okay, I know I'm not supposed to have alcohol, but I'm going to have some alcohol. So which one should I have? So if you were going to do this, then the dry wine or dry cider would be the best because those are the ones that are not going to have sugar added to them. And it's going to be mostly the fermented apple, the fermented grapes. I'm not promoting drinking alcohol. I'm just knowing that people might want to know the answer to what if. What's that?
Coconut sugar.
Coconut sugar would still be in the sugar camp of, yeah, I could probably put that on as a healthy, in moderation sugar. I should add that. Thank you. Yeah.
Maple syrup?
Technically, I should put maple syrup on there too. Yeah, thank you. I messed that slide up. Yeah. So I guess if you think of any of this sort of non-processed sugars, that would work. And you could substitute that in there. The one that doesn't work is brown sugar, because brown sugar is white sugar that has molasses added back to it. The brown sugar was an amazing marketing tool by some company, because everybody I know is like, yeah, but you can eat this. I made it with brown sugar. I'm like, that's sugar. It's just sugar, but it has some molasses added back into it. So cooking methods. So I like to talk about this because, like before, we're not just talking about what we're eating. We're talking about how we prepare it. So you've probably heard about how you're not supposed to have grilled meat, and you're not supposed to have things that are cooked on too high of a temperature. And what happens is if you grill something, you get something called the AGE. So it's just advanced glycation end products. And basically, it changes the protein and fat structure of the meat. So there are some ways around that. So high levels of that are supposed to contribute to inflammation, and we don't want that. So if you are going to grill, marinate the meat ahead of time, because liquid tends to stop the development of AGEs. It may not totally eliminate it, but make it lower. And slow and low when you're doing meat stewing, poaching, braising, and like I said, marinating. So those are some ways to kind of get around that.
How about grilling vegetables?
Yeah, so same thing can happen with vegetables.
Right.
But the
water.
Yeah, you don't really want to do that. Yeah. I would say with the vegetables, so you know how you get the chard? Try to not get the chard.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's so good. I know. I ruin everything. But you know, try for that. And just try for it in moderate. Like, okay, you have grilled vegetables every now and then. That's okay. So vegetables produce less AGEs than meat do. So.
What did you say? AGE is advanced
glycation end product.
What about steaming vegetables?
Yeah, steaming vegetables is a good way to go. Yeah. Okay, so we talk about beans. I'm going to talk about beans and grains for a minute, because there's a lot of buzz about I can't have beans or I can't have grains or this or that. There are certain reasons why I recommend people don't have beans or don't have grains. If you are on a strict weight loss program, it can help you to take out beans and it can help you to take out grains, because they're starchy and that's for a short-term fix. You want to lose some weight. It will help. Science. That's it. But if you're just looking for an overall healthy diet, beans can be a good protein, a good part of that. What you want to do in a perfect world is soak the beans, okay? Then you know how people say, I can't eat beans because I get, you know, little flatulent. If you soak them, then you change the water to cook them in, okay? So when you soak them, you get rid of the phytic acid, you get rid of the lectins, and you get rid of the enzyme inhibitors. And those are all of the reasons that you're not supposed to eat beans, okay? And besides the fact that they're starchy, but the starchiness you just do, and you eat them in moderation. Okay, so these are some ways that cooking beans can make it more digestible and better for you if you enjoy eating beans. Grains, same thing. So there's the paleo diet. There's the don't eat grains. The grains are terrible for you, whatnot. So when you look at a refined grain, yes, A refined grain can cause the same inflammatory response as sugar. Okay, so that's, we're looking at white rice, we're looking at breads, we're looking at pastas, we're looking at those kind of refined grains. But having a whole grain, same thing, you can do it like you do the beans. You can soak your grains and then cook them. That's going to be your optimal way. Soak them, change the water, cook them. You don't have to do that, but that's going to be your optimal nutrition. So here's the thing about grains. We eat too many of them. So too many grains means that you're not eating micronutrients from other foods. So when you look at your plate, like I said earlier, you want your plate to look mostly plants, little bits of grain, little bits of meat. Okay? No matter what, always. So then, can you have whole grains as part of a healthy diet? Yes. Can you have white bread as part of a healthy diet? No. Can you have pizza? I don't know. So, yeah. So, but I will say, so gluten, I mean, it's all real things, okay? These are all real for people. You may eat grains, you may eat whole grains, and you feel awful, and you feel bloated, you soaked them, you did everything. That means it is not good for you, and that's okay. Don't have grains. Gluten, for a lot of people, they have a really hard time with digesting gluten because they have a hard time with the protein. The body launches an immune response right when the protein goes into the body if you have a gluten allergy or a gluten sensitivity. Okay, and then when that happens, then you have a malabsorption of other nutrients and it can really cause problems for people. Okay, so that's just sort of the skinny on gluten. But gluten is not in all grains. So if you go gluten-free, it doesn't mean you have to go whole grain-free. Okay, so talk a little bit about label reading real quick. So in a perfect world, like I said earlier, the perfect world, you're not going to read a label because everything just came out of the ground. It's a whole food. What would you need a label for? Okay, but realistically, you're going to need to read some labels. So some tricks. I don't care about what it says up at the top where it says fat, where it says calories, where it says, I do care about sugar. All of those, sodium, all that, that's great, but that's not the only thing that you should look at on a label, okay? You should look at the ingredient list. And the ingredient list, the first three things in the ingredient list are primarily what's in that product, okay? Organic does not mean healthy. Okay, so you can get organic Newman's O's. That's great. That's probably better than an Oreo, but that's a cookie. That's a junk food. And I know that seems, but I can't tell you the number of people that are like, well, you can eat that. It's organic. Okay. So sugar amounts. If you don't know this, I think this is a fun game. So sugar is 4 grams equals 1 teaspoon. So without any judgment, just one day, you know, it's the dog days of summer, go through the food that you eat through the day and measure out the amount of sugar that you're eating that day. Just measure it in a jar. Read on the labels, 4 grams equals 1 teaspoon. Just see how much you have. It's a fun game. Because processed food, there's sugar in everything. I mean, the Rhythm Foods kale chips at Earth Fair have 3 grams of sugar per serving. It makes me crazy. Like, it's a kale chip. So looking for sugar and then realizing that any word ending in O-S-E can also be sugar. They're very, very tricky with the ways they label sugar and how many times they label sugar in a product. You want to look for the types of oils, look for any additives, look for natural terms, because that's a big thing. Like, does anybody know what a natural flavor is? No. Just think about that. There's a natural flavor factory somewhere. And then there's different terms, like yeast extract is really similar to MSG in the body. So thinking about a lot of these natural products have yeast extract in them. Yeast extract
is MSG.
And then I talk about heart-healthy greenwashing because this is my favorite example, Campbell's soup. I mean, we've all eaten Campbell's soup our whole life. It probably was tomatoes and water, whatever. Mm-hmm. But now they have heart-healthy Campbell's soup, I should have brought it, because it's the ingredients are tomatoes, high fructose corn syrup, soybean oil, and it's kind of amazing, because I'm like, soup, That's great. Anyway, so just really, I think it's fun. You'll start to learn. Even products, go home tonight, look at stuff. You know, I'm not trying to shame anybody. Just look at your products and see what's in them, because it's pretty interesting what the industry is doing to us. So eating out. Okay, I like to bring this up. We live in Asheville. People like to eat out. We have a lot of really good restaurants here. Okay, so it doesn't have to be, you know what, we're going out to dinner. Forget about the anti-inflammatory diet. Let's do what we want. Party time. I feel like, first of all, we make change by asking for things, by caring about what's in our food. Okay, as a collective community, that's the only way that things change. Okay, so when you go to a restaurant, ask about the oil. Ask about the quality of the meat. Ask about the eggs. You know, you can do it in a really nice way where you just say, I always do, like, I know this is kind of annoying, but just kind of care about what I put in my body. Do you mind telling me? And if they can't tell you, then they don't know. So it's a good indicator, don't have it. Probably came from Cisco, you know. Oils in restaurants, even if you go to the best restaurant in Asheville, they most likely use canola oil, soybean oil, corn oil, one of the big Wesson oils, because it's cheap. That's how, I mean, restaurants are trying to make money. They're not trying to make you healthy. But then I say, so earlier I was like, pizza, forget it, you know. No, but I think that you can seek out restaurants that are really working. There are restaurants in Asheville that are working to help support the health of our community and individual health. And one example I can think of right now is in the River Arch District is All Souls. And sure, it's pizza. It's not a health food. But they use local grain from North Carolina. It's fermented. It's all the vegetables, everything is organic, grown right there in the garden. So the quality, everybody's gonna go eat pizza tomorrow and say, I said you could do that. But honestly, so if you're gonna, you know, I know that we're living in this world and it's fun to do these things, so you have some choice in it. And it doesn't have to be just forget about the diet. Or another thing I get is people say, well, I can't stay on this. I've got family coming to town. I can't stay on this. I'm traveling. I can't stay on this. So this whole thing is figuring out about how can you stay on this every day? And for the most part, you know, for your 85, 90%, so you can feel really good. So you can enjoy what you're doing. Go on vacation and don't junk food load because you're on vacation, so you can have a good time. Like, eat really well and take care of yourself so you can have a good time. All right. So in wrapping up, so I just did, this is just like a little thing that's kind of anti-inflammatory in a nutshell, and it's eating plant fats, eating animal fats, eating low sugar fruits, eating non-starchy plants, properly raised animals, and non-caloric beverages. And of course, that's, you've got all the other list of foods that I said in there. And then I just have resources on the end here, so that goes through what the glycemic index is, the anti-inflammatory shopping list, which is broken down really nice, so you could take it to the store with you, make sure you're doing the right thing, Dirty Dozen list. And then the environmental working group also has just the general consumer information. It's really great. They talk about sunscreen and, I mean, just all kinds of products, so you can just get really informed on things that you're buying and how you can have an active say in what you're doing. Yeah. Yeah, that is a really great question, and it's challenging. And I think that I did sort of address this, and I'm like, just do it, just eat these foods. But I think you go through a withdrawal phase. You can use fruits as your sugar, even though I said, like, let's use fruits in moderation. That's something that you sort of say, okay, I'm not going to have this cookie. I'm going to have some fruit. Staying really hydrated. What I tell people is oftentimes people want to transition and they want to, when they're hungry, they're like, I don't know what to eat. I just kind of go hungry, you know? So I say, eat real food. When you have that craving, you have that intense sugar craving, make some real food. Make a salad, make some chicken, make some, you know, really feed yourself and nourish yourself. It can be good just to make a plan and say you're not going to go all the way. You know, you're going to say, for this week, I'm going to practice not buying 3 processed products and replace those with real whole food products. You know, if you're, it's sort of, and I'd be happy to talk with you more about it, because it is really individualized, seeing where you're coming from. And I think there is a way to do it where it's a transition and not just a get thrown in the pool. Yeah.
What is the situation with salt?
So, good question.
Can you
What is the situation with salt? So salt, yeah, and here's the thing, and I know everybody's on their individual diet, so I don't want to overstep any boundaries, but sea salt, so iodine salt that we have, Morton sea salt, the salts that we have in processed foods, we have so much salt. If you were to take all that processed food out of your diet, sea salt is a good way to get the real, you need salt. Salt is one of the electrolytes. We have to have sodium that you need. So in terms of if you are eating real whole foods, you need to have some salt, and it's okay to have that salt. The problem, the big sodium issue, the reason why a lot of people can't have sodium is because our whole lives we've been having sodium in all the processed food products, things that you wouldn't even think of. That's another fun thing to look on labels and see how much sodium is in things. It's kind of incredible. Even chicken, like in the standard American, like the way chicken is raised, they inject it with sodium to make it bigger, sodium water, so people are getting sodium just like in chicken, you know. Does that, so if you're eating a whole foods diet, it's okay to have the sea salt.
Where can you find raw milk?
That's a really good question. So raw milk right now is labeled as pet food because it's illegal in North Carolina and South Carolina to sell it for human consumption. At the West Asheville tailgate market, yeah, they sell it. And they just put a little label that says for pet food, but it's not, you know. So I know they have it there. They do yogurts. Did you know if they did cheese? They're expanding. I know they do yogurt and milk. Yeah. But they're starting to expand, so I think if you were like into it. Yeah, it's okay to saute them just on low heat. And really the best thing to do, honestly, is take your vegetables and saute them in a little bit of vegetable broth or a little bit of water. And then you can use a good quality oil for the flavoring. You can use the, you know, people just tend to like saute in all this oil and you don't need to do that. What's that?
What's a good quality oil?
Okay, so you could use an olive oil, one of the nut oils, the avocado oil, the walnut oil, and those are ones you wouldn't want to cook with. That would be like a nice drizzling oil. But an extra virgin olive oil would be really nice. Flax oil or fish oil is a nice too from a health perspective. It's not, fish oil is not delicious for like serving to your friends, but.
How do you feel about washing vegetables?
I think if you want to wash the vegetables to get like dirt off or to get the bugs off or whatever, that's fine. Washing, you can't really wash the chemicals completely off. So if you're getting non-organic vegetables, you can wash them, but it's not going to. Yeah. I mean, I like to rinse my vegetables, but mostly because they usually have dirt on them. If you get them from the grocery store and they're not organic, they've probably already washed them or sprayed them with something. With the thyroid issues, how does the anti-inflammatory affect that? Well, I think that, and certainly there's certain things that you can't have or that you've been recommended to not have, but, and in general, like eating this way does help to support your hormones and your thyroid. I mean, I know there are some certain things that I probably listed here that you would have to take out, but then the other things that you would be free to eat, you know. You're supposed to take out. Can you remind me of the things you're supposed to take out? Can you remind me of the things that you're not eating? Yeah. Those are mainly the things. So everything else you should be able to have and should be fine with. Could. I don't want to say should, but yeah.
Are you supposed to have the nuts raw? Can you have like roasted almonds?
That's a good question. So the nut issue. So she said, are you supposed to have them raw or can you have them roasted? So here's the thing, just like everything. If you have them raw, okay, best way to have nuts. You soak them and then it gets rid of the phytic acid and then it's perfect, okay? If you roast a nut, it's not that it's bad for you, but it kills off some of the antioxidants, okay? It's like everything. When you cook a vegetable, you get rid of some of the nutrients. So if you want to get all the nutrients, eat it raw. But if you're going to have some roasted nuts instead of a cookie, that's okay. See what I mean?
So raw nuts soaked?
Yeah, would be like your optimal way to have them.
But you're supposed to soak them?
To soak them to get rid of the phytic acid, which is something that's also on beans and grains, which can block mineral absorption.
Is that what you got raw organic nuts?
Yeah, so that's just a matter of soaking them to get off the phytic acid. Even if it's raw, they still have the phytic acid. Right. Right, but this is sort of where it all starts to get really confusing, and then it makes it be like, well, I just don't want to eat. You know, I think it gets confusing. So that's like the optimal way to do it. So the optimal way to eat food is to eat it sprouted, because then you get the most, you know, but not a lot of people are going to go home and sprout all of their food and do that. You know, if you have time to do that, you homestead, that's awesome. You'll be... of sprouting something. So you have to like soak it, and then you rinse it, and then you soak it. I'm not a big sprouter, so the actual process, but it's usually like a 3-day process to sprout. You can sprout nuts, you can sprout seeds, you can sprout grains, you can sprout like vegetables, grasses.
So you actually want to change this position
from
solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you buy a sunflower, say you buy a sunflower sprout in the store. I don't know if you ever have. But that's from a sunflower seed. It went through a whole process. It got soaked for a couple of days, so you can even plant them, and then they sprout, and then you're getting the maximum nutrient from that. Okay? But it's okay to just go to the store and eat some sunflower seeds.
It's also right? Good.
It's like the Zika bread. It's supposed to be already sprouted. Yeah, don't sprout the
Zika bread. Yeah.
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 So that would be like you're taking it from like, so you've got like standard American, and then you've got like optimal. You're doing everything you can possibly do to get every nutrient out of your food. So you've got the scale here. We all kind of, you know, fall somewhere in between. You know.
Where are you from that actually provide? They grow the fruits and vegetables and
uh-huh.
Pay a certain amount of
money. Yeah.
Are there
the CSA boxes? Yeah. If you go to
Farm to Table.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah,
like every month you get a box.
Yeah, you get the CSA. Yeah. Well, and it is farm to table, but so if you go on ASAP's website, that's thank you. I just had a brain fart. Yeah. Yeah. ASAP, and ASAP is a great resource in our community for hooking you up with local farmers to find the CSA boxes. They'll drop them off at farmers markets, at, you know, different spots around town where you could go grab it. And that's a great resource. Also, Mother Earth Produce. Mother Earth Produce. I love this company. So they deliver. You go online every week. You can say exactly what you want. They give you recipes. And it breaks down to, I think, about $7 per meal per person, which is like, you know, you can't get really beat that for really good quality food. So I would check them out for sure. Well, anybody, if you have any questions, individual questions you want to talk to me afterwards, please feel free to. And this is really fun. I love this. If you want more information, please also come see me at Integrative or come see us at Integrative. And yeah, just thanks for spending.